This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Price Show. First hour, we got to speak with Illinois State Representative Kevin Schmidt. He is in the 114th District. What towns did he list? Cahokia Heights, East St. Louis.
Dupo, Millstadt, Muscoota, New Athens.
O'Fallon. Yeah, a very, very great slice of America through the entire district. Please go support Kevin Schmidt in Illinois. I know there's a lot of Missouri statewide races. We don't do our statewides, unfortunately. We can't replace Governor Pritzker this right. Oh, just for a record, just a reminder to everybody in Illinois, there are no governor term limits.
Oh, thanks.
J.B. Pritzker could run again and again and again and again.
You know, I think that that's okay, though, because when we see in Illinois politicians stay in office for like a long, long time, usually they treat that power pretty well. Like Mike Madigan.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
remember that name?
He's in trouble.
I was going to say he's still in court.
We're going to talk to Jim Carafano, we hope, in a few minutes. He had a flight that was landing. It's like landing right now. So he's probably going to call us, and we're going to connect with him here shortly. But we've talked about the economy. We talked a lot about how people are struggling in the state of Illinois with Kevin Schmidt. The status quo with Democrats in control is not beneficial to the taxpayer, to the voter. But nationally, we absolutely experience the same thing. In addition to that, the other issue that a lot of people talk about after the economy being their number one issue, which Donald Trump, at least from polling, a polling perspective, wins big on the economy issue, is the southern border. Is the southern border a problem? Is illegal immigration in this country a problem? Here is Tim Walz talking about the immigration issue that we have nationally.
But we can't forsake this idea that there are pathways to citizenship that aren't take too long, and you can get people who are here, want to be here, contributing to this country, give them that pathway that's legal. And I think that's what the vice president has said. She said she'd sign the bill immediately.
Why is it so hard? You know, it's for Democrats and Republicans, when we talk about immigration, Democrats are always like, we need a better way to become a citizen. And Republicans are like, yeah, but we need to close the border. Both of those things are true. We need to agree to say, okay, let's solve this issue and then we'll solve that issue. And if you want to do it simultaneously, that's fine. But you have to have both conversations. Instead, in politics, what you do is you just point out how the other side is wrong about something and nothing is done.
It's also really inauthentic of any Democrat, including Tim Walz, although he wasn't in Congress when this was happening, to say that and to use that as a line, because Trump himself, who he's running against, tried to do that in 2018.
True. Republicans
were not real happy with it.
Yeah.
And he said, it doesn't matter. We're going to try. If we can get border security, you know, get the wall going, get all these things going, then I will give these people, dreamers, a path to citizenship. And Democrats refuse to do it.
Is there any person who's in this country right now that came here illegally? Is there any person that exists in this country right now that you think should be considered for citizenship? Just like that. I can't snap.
Like the children of illegal immigrants or something.
What if you've been here for 45 years and you were brought here as a child and all you've ever known is this, and now you're going to get shipped back to some third world country? That there is a huge difference to me between legal status and citizenship. And the understand, and this is when DACA was brought into the conversation with Obama, you know, that idea that there was a finite group of people who were brought here as children, we should label them as DACA or whatever. We cannot solve the immigration problem until we solve the border problem, because people will continue to come here, and then the other problem continues to get bigger and bigger. Let's talk to Jim Carafano, who joins us once again. Great to have you on, Senior Counselor to the President and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, we're talking a little bit about the immigration issue, something you and I have talked about for years and years now. And I'm mentioning that, like, Democrats want to say that the problem is it's too hard to become a citizen. Republicans are often saying the problem is that it's too easy to get into the country. What's the sensible way to look at the problem as it stands right now and come to a solution that anybody on either side of the aisle should be able to agree to?
Well, look, nobody can believe a law where breaking the law provides enormous benefits, and if there are no consequences for breaking the law, that law is going to be obeyed. I mean, that's just human common sense. And so how do you restore the integrity of the law? Well, one is you have to secure the border. Two is you have to go after people that are building these transnational human trafficking networks that are funneling people to the border. And three is you have to deport people. I mean, you just have to. And you have to deport them in large numbers, because that's what's going to show people that you're serious about enforcing the law. And that's also going to mean taking away all these benefits that people have from being here illegally. It's actually easier to come to this country illegally. It's more beneficial to come to this country illegally than to come legally. So you have to stop all that. And you can't say, well, that won't work, because we know it worked, because that's what Donald Trump did, and he significantly reduced the numbers. But the joke about citizenship is that's just complete nonsense. If all they wanted was more people to come here legally and work, they had all the laws on the books and all the capacity to do that. They specifically chose not to do that. They wanted to break the system so they could bring in tens of millions of people and then say this problem is overwhelming, so the only solution is to give them amnesty. And, of course, the number one problem with that is as soon as you give everybody amnesty, the next 10 million will be at your door.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. We're speaking with Jim Carafano right now. In an earlier interview, Jim, I had an Illinois state representative, a Republican, won his seat from a very successful Democrat over the years in East St. Louis here. I don't know how familiar you are with East St. Louis, but it's a very impoverished area. It's right across the river from downtown.
Yep. I've been there many times.
Yeah, so he was talking about how when he was canvassing this district, that those are the people who want to see him and talk to him the most. Yes, he's a Republican. He's a white guy going into East St. Louis, and they want to talk to him, and he sits and listens to him. And he said the number one issue that he hears from those voters when he sits down with them in an African-American community is that illegal immigration is the priority issue for those voters. Is the solution deportation? Is there policy and politics that need to come together in order to sell that to the American people? Or do you just make it happen? You get it done. It's the right thing to do.
Well, look, I think the American people are sold on this, and it's the only practical thing that can be done. And the reality is if you want to deport people, you have to detain them. You cannot just say show up for deportation or put a thing on somebody and expect that that's going to happen. And that means, and the other thing is, look, you don't have to deport 10 million people. You have to deport large numbers, but a lot of people will actually just self-deport. A lot of people just came here for economic reasons. And once they realize that there is not, a free lunch here, they're just going to leave. A lot of the criminal people, once they find out it's not easy to do criminal activity here, and it's much easier to do it back in their home country, they're just going to go home. And so the reality is you have to deport enough people to show them that you're serious about enforcing the law. And that's what's going to change things.
Jim, what about the immigration system? Set aside, obviously, the huge, massive problem that needs to be a priority to be addressed in letting people just come in here. But is it too complicated to become a United States citizen? Does it need a refresh?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the problem is not... The problem is not the mechanism, and you can adjust the volume, and you can speed up the process. I think the problem was always, and it was actually an issue that Trump wanted to address, it's who are you bringing into the country? So the primary ways of bringing people in the country was chain migration, which basically it's like we bring in people who are related to people here, and most smart countries in the world are moving to something called merit-based migration, which is you bring in people that are going to add the most to your society. And there are different models to do this. They've all worked very successfully. The United States can implement that. As a matter of fact, the Trump in the second term was going to do that. So when we said the system was broken, what we were complaining about is, you know, we're just bringing in the wrong kinds of people, and we really don't have a system to decide what's the right number to bring in. And Trump was going to fix that. When they say the system is broken, is, oh, we can't bring in 10 million Democratic voters and register them overnight. And so we have very different perceptions of what broken means. Mm.
Yeah, and you can't solve a problem if you can't define the problem and agree upon it. We're speaking with Jim Carafano right now. He's an expert at the Heritage Foundation. We're grateful to have him on here. Do you feel as though...
I just want to say one
thing. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say one thing, because what Harris has said is... And you know me, I'm not a Republican, not a Democrat. Just what she said is, oh, we'll secure the border, but we have to give amnesty to everybody, and then we'll secure the border. That dog does not hunt. The last four presidents have proposed that with every combination you could have, Republican Congress, Republican president, Democratic Congress, Democratic president, Democratic Congress. It's never succeeded, because they know the American people just simply won't buy that. So if that's your alternative, we know it'll never happen, because it'll never get the support of the American people. It never will. In fact, if you look at the polls today, forget about Congress, 80% of Americans today just say deport them.
Yeah. Yes. It's actually a pretty agreed upon issue at this point in time. Do you feel as though Donald Trump and his policies that he had in place, and if he were to win, he'd probably put a lot of those policies back in place, I assume, through the 94 executive orders that the Biden-Harris administration undid. Is more needed on border security from Congress?
Not initially. I think 99% of what the president needs to do, he can do with executive orders. And the other thing is he has the team. I mean, there are a lot of people that worked on this issue in the past administration that have the trust and confidence of the president. They know exactly what to do, and they know exactly how to do it. And they're just waiting, you know, for the call. Pack your bags, come to Washington. Mm-hmm. So of all the areas of foreign policy, I think this is the one where literally everybody walks in the door on day one, and there's not even anything to debate, since we're going to do this.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear. Hopefully we can materialize that way. Last question before we let you go, and Jim, we're grateful for your time today. When Kamala Harris always brags about the bipartisan bill that she gives Donald Trump credit for killing, she always talks about getting all of those border control agents to flood the area. What has the Biden Harris administration done with the men and women who are serving in Border Patrol and keeping that area safe? What have they used those people for?
Well, they basically use them. I mean, the reality is they've used Immigration and Border Control as a concierge service to bring illegal aliens to the United States. And the only reason why they say numbers are down is because instead of people illegally breaking the United States, essentially the U.S. government just picks them up and brings them in. So, I mean, you're using it's like using the police to escort the bank robber from the bank.
And then not calling him a criminal. It's unbelievable. Jim, thank you for fitness in your schedule. We're going to, next time we talk to you, if you have time next Tuesday, Election Day, we're looking forward to it. Soon we will have hopefully a new direction for this country. Thank you for being here with us today.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jim Carafano is the Senior Counselor to the President and E.W. Richardson Fellow for International Engagement at the Heritage Foundation, on X at JJ Carafano. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss the YouTube live chat poll a little bit. When will you vote? Some of y'all have already done it. You'll find out if any of us have cast our votes already. Maybe you've already voted. Maybe you plan to vote early. Or maybe you plan to vote on Election Day. Or maybe you've decided, I can't do it. I'm not voting. Oh, please, Lord, have mercy. Don't be that person. Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come vote. Tell us what you think. We'll be back in just a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Smell like you every day discovering something brand new. Well, noticed in the last couple of days, this is not all of the polls that are out there now, but we have seen a number, four in the last 4 days, that have shown very small, but in the context of this close race, potentially meaningful movement in Trump's direction. I don't want to overstate it, but at the same time, it's hard to ignore these four. The CNBC poll came out the other day, has Trump ahead by 2. The Wall Street Journal poll, Trump ahead by 3. These are national numbers. CNN and the New York Times, a tied race. CNN, a tied race. The significance here is broader movement. Again, we're seeing in Trump's direction.
I don't want to overstate it. By stating it, you are probably overstating it.
Yeah, right. I don't want to state it.
If we're going the other way, let's just for a second here. That was NBC's Steve Kornacki talking. If by chance at this point the polls were moving into Kamala Harris's direction, would they be like, I don't want to overstate it?
No.
No. Absolutely not.
No, in fact, whenever the polls, like let's say, take a state for instance, Michigan. Okay, this poll shows Trump up by 1. This poll shows Harris up by 1. So they take the one and go, Trump up by 1 means this is essentially a tied race. Trump or Harris up by 1. There's Harris just shows a tiny lead.
That's Harris.
The way it is.
Yes, yeah. All Harris. I'm going to refresh this here and see because I had it up from yesterday. Okay, yes. The RCP, which is realclearpolling.com, they have every slice and dice way to look at this election, polling, all of the different polls, so on and so forth. The aggregate in the national polls right now is Trump plus 0.4.
That's national polls?
National.
Wow.
Polls. We were so excited in 2022 mm-hmm. for the midterm election.
Yeah.
I know where you're going with this.
I'm not going to say any more then. I don't want to talk about it.
My biggest concern with polls right now is
you
that.
You have any?
I do. No. I really do. No. Because
I'm like, hey guys, look at these awesome polls. And Ryan's like, you know, I'm skeptical.
Temper your enthusiasm a little bit, Annie. Yeah. You tend to just run away with things like that.
Yeah.
My concern is that we have had so much Trump for so many years now. And these pollsters,
not enough,
have figured out how to poll him, which means that we do actually have a tied race. Because if it's comparable to 2016 or 2020, Trump's going to win this thing. But if the pollers have figured out how to poll him, which they may have, then this actually is a neck and neck race at this point. And here, one more thing. Here's the reason why this concerns me. Because in 2016 and 2020, I like being optimistic, but this is real. The right-leaning pollsters had Trump ahead or tied, while the left-leaning mainstreams had Clinton or Biden or whoever way ahead. And then Trump outperformed them. But the right-leaning ones had it. This year, the right-leaning ones and the mainstream are basically the same. So that gives me concern that the mainstream media has figured out how to poll Trump and we have a neck and neck race.
But I like the polls.
Don't worry. It's not about here's where you're falling short. It's not about
Is this
polls.
About polling or just generally my life?
This is just a you thing.
I've been wanting to talk to you, Annie.
I've seen the way you live your life. And there's some things I wanted to talk to you about. I was going to do it privately.
Let me have it. Just you and me here. Brad, cover your ears.
We don't get to talk. We talk so much on the air that I'm like, let's just do this. when you look at polls and you talk about loving polls, it's not about polls. It's about data and comparing data to data. It's all about just using that data to predict what you think is going to happen. And polls are a good tool to do that, but they're imperfect. And so when you talk about 2022, gives me the same pause. You're like, Dems overperformed the polls in 2022. But there's still this big backlash against Joe Biden happening. So could this be that red wave? I mean, you really don't know.
I mean, they ask other questions like job approval rating. Who do you think will handle this better? And there's a lot more separation in those surveys and those polls. And I have said this all the time, you know, polls are persuasive. They're not predictive. They're there to persuade somebody. And so to figure out who they're trying
to... And you can use the same poll to persuade completely different things. Mm-hmm.
So my question is who commissions these polls and what's their agenda? And that will kind of help me understand why they selected the data the way they selected, why they did what they did as far as who they're going to poll, how much are they going to weight Republicans versus how much are they going to weight Democrats, all of those things.
There's the polling that we can all look at the polling, but then there's also just the reality of what we can see with our own eyes. And I'm continuing to see people who are coming out and having conversations in ways that we have not, that status quo has changed. And if the status quo has changed for people in this election that previously, A, wouldn't have spoken out, or B, didn't believe, they believe something differently in 2020 and 24 than they did right now, I think that really matters. That is a measured change in what is real and tangible in this election compared to the ones before. And the amazing thing is that the alternative media role in this particular election, alternative to cable news, alternative probably to talk radio. Talk radio looks a little different each and every year that passes for a whole myriad of reasons. But the idea that there are these podcasting influencers out there right now, that there are people who are able to put their thoughts and voice out there to have conversations that don't have to be approved by the media gatekeepers, who consolidate and dole out power in exchange for access, that whole system has changed. Megyn Kelly, I loved Megyn Kelly. I liked Megyn Kelly the entire time she was on Fox News. When she left, people were not too high on her. I will say that as a female professional, I admired and respected her just for the job that she did, because she, to me, was always fierce. She was independent in thought. I knew when I was watching Megyn Kelly that I was getting Megyn Kelly and not some pre-programmed robot who was supposed to do this, that, and the other thing. I just always really respected her in that role as a female who had aspired to be able to have a shot at something at some point. Zachary Levi, who we've talked about on this show before, he is an actor. He is Flash? No, what's his? Shazam?
Shazam.
I was going to say Shazam first, but I thought that was
There's
Shaq.
There's only one Shazam. There's about 15
who
Flashes.
Who is Shaq?
Shaq did a movie called Shazam as well, but it wasn't based off of the superhero comic.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
See, I didn't want to get those confused. Anyway, people know about that part of it. I know him as Flynn Rider in Tangled, the Rapunzel story, one of our favorite family princess stories. And I have, over the course of the last 2 years, seen him say things or tweet things, and I thought, I think he's a conservative. I was on to him. There are certain things that when something happens in America or something like that, all the usuals come out and they all say the same thing. And then somebody else comes out and they say something that acknowledges the situation, but they say it differently. And I go, And then I just move on with my life. Well, now Zachary Levi is welcoming to the stage RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard in support of Donald Trump. And in the last, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks, he's really kind of push the pedal to the metal and making sure that his voice is heard and clear on the issues that face voters in this election as he sees it.
I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I'm voting for Donald Trump and Bobby Kennedy and Tulsi Gabbard and Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk and J.D. Vance and everyone else that they're going to bring in this team, this Avengers, this Voltron, whatever you want to call it. And they're going to get in there and actually do what Donald Trump said he was going to do the first time, which is drain the swamp. And he has admitted that he couldn't do it and he didn't do it because he didn't know what he was doing. He didn't even think he was going to win the first time. And he had no time for his transition team. And then it was loaded with a bunch of sycophants and horrible people that were the swamp monsters that Bobby Kennedy has very accurately pointed out. And so now they're privately funding. I love this, that Trump is privately funding his own transition team, not waiting for the government. So they are ready to go and they are not compromised. That is the government that I want. That is the that is something. Bobby is 100%. He and Tulsi are going to be let loose to be the bulldogs that we need to hold people to account. And by the way, and they will do it fairly. They will do it civilly. They will do it in love. I've sat with both of them. They are incredibly wonderful human people.
Listening to Zachary Levi there, first of all, I close my eyes and just pretend it's Flynn Rider and I'm even happier. I'm like, take that, Disney.
They should animate that.
They should. That it's got to be happening already.
I'm sure Disney's on that.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what he looks like. He's like cracked out Flynn Rider or something like that.
Just some bug-eyed crazy.
He's so right. It's not just about Donald Trump. And the funny thing about that is when you view it from the left side of the aisle, about Donald Trump, he's been made out to be this pariah, this terrible, evil person. But for some reason, so many people have said, I don't know if Donald Trump is as bad as I always thought he was. But I still can't really stand him, because when you hear him talk, he still talks the way he's always talked. In delivery, in sharpness, like he's still that guy. But when you're like, Bobby Kennedy, okay, Tulsi Gabbard, really? Like Tulsi Gabbard's position on endless wars, Bobby Kennedy's position on all the chemicals that America says that you can eat here because they've got the medications to prescribe you when you get the after effects of the things they put in our food, and those companies end up getting super wealthy off of your unhealthiness. I'm in for Bobby Kennedy. If you trust Bobby Kennedy, if you trust Tulsi Gabbard, if you trust these people that you've listened to, Vivek Ramaswamy, who has a clean and clear understanding of what America first and American greatness can do for us, and then ultimately our position in the world. J.D. Vance, who understands American poverty. I know he's wealthy now, but who appreciates wealth more than somebody who is impoverished? It's like people, I bring it into this, but it's like people who I was born into a Christian family. Generationally, we've had, that's Christianity is what my family does. And I'm very, very grateful for that. But I've met people who came into their Christian faith as adults, and they have a certain passion. They're in love with their faith because they understand the converse of what it's like to not have that understanding and that belief. People who have come into, in the last however many years, whether it was a slow burn or they got smacked in the face with the idea that maybe possibly what I've been told about Donald Trump isn't exactly accurate. The Trump campaign does not try to explain away Donald Trump ever. And in some points, don't you wish they kind of would? They'd be like, well, he's like this, but... All Kamala Harris does is try to explain away what people think about her and tell you why you're wrong to think the way you do. The Trump campaign is like, that's Trump. Period. You know what you get. You don't have to love everything about it. Donald Trump doesn't care whether you love everything about it. He knows he has the solutions to the problems, and he's willing to actually identify what the problems are. Going back to what we were saying before, the polls look good. I feel good about it. I immediately think about the RW in 22. And I can't get excited about it now because I don't want the disappointment to start from so high up. At least if I'm flatline on it, the disappointment feels a little more manageable for me. But then I'm thinking, like, this could be really... we don't know the level of excitement that would exist if the outcome is the way it looks like it could be. And I don't really want to miss out on the fun.
I'm going to do predictions this weekend on my show, and I'm having a tough time because it could go one of two ways. And one way is that Trump really does what he always does, overperforms, and then carries other down ticket senators and House members with him. And it's like, wow, that was the thing we were waiting for. It also could be that it is just, like, he could eke out a victory. I would say her path is getting really tough. But as far as the Senate goes, like, it could be a rather disappointing night. I think they'll still take it. But, man, it's just tough because you don't know.
Well, yeah, I think really it's the question is what is the enthusiasm of Democrats in this election cycle? Because we're seeing a lot of early voting. We're seeing, nobody questions the enthusiasm of Trump voters. Nobody does that because the media is against them. Is the enthusiasm that the media has been presenting for Kamala Harris, is that real or is that manufactured to try to get her across the line? I don't know. I think that's the real question.
Amy on YouTube says, I remember being super excited in 2020 because of the turnout at my location, not getting burned again, keeping expectations way low. I understand that, Amy. I totally understand that. I'm constantly thinking to myself, Just keep it steady, Annie. Just keep it steady. But we are a week away from knowing. Maybe 8 days.
Man, I hope we know quick.
Maybe 2 months.
We just need to know by January 11th or whatever it is this year.
Isn't it like,
is it always 6? No.
So.
It's always like a day, isn't it?
We'll find out. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you guys, Ryan, Brad, when will you vote? The YouTube live chat poll question is, when will you vote? Have you already early voted? Do you plan to early vote? Are you voting on election day? Are you not voting at all? Who are you? Why would you be listening to this show and not be voting? Annie Fry YouTube channel, go say hi in the comments and leave your vote so we can tally it with the rest of them. We'll be right back. Oh, you can eat the lucky bag.
If 60% of our members are leaning Republican, then it's up to the Republicans to figure out why they're voting that way, Democrats to figure out why our members are voting that way, instead of pointing fingers and looking for excuses. I mean, look, whoever wins this election, they've got to win over working class America. If you're a Democrat, you've got to win back the support. If you're a Republican portraying yourself, you want to support working people, you're going to have to prove it. And, you know, I'm not going to sweat people coming at us, you know, with knucklehead comments or anything else. We've got to focus on fixing this country. You know, there's a divide down the middle, and let's not put people in the middle of political parties. Let's fix the problem and work together.
So that's the Teamsters president, Sean O'Brien. And that is just wild, wild, wild stuff to hear. Like, if 60% of the Teamsters support Republicans, he said, it's on the Democrats to figure out why that is. Don't come at us and tell us like what we're supposed to do here. That is an upside down power structure. That is what is changing. And if it changes, the ability for the course of American history to change here is significant. I remember specifically having this feeling when Donald Trump won in 2016. I asked myself the question, ah, crap, I hope he can do all that stuff he said he was going to do. Like, in 2016, I was thinking the Republicans put their hopes and dreams into Donald Trump to be their advocate for more people to vote the next time for Donald Trump. And he actually won me over, as in, like, where has this been the whole time? In the midst of all of the negative reporting that started the day after the election. Was it the Washington Post or New York Times or somebody? The headline was, the impeachment starts today.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't remember which outlet, but yeah.
But I mean, like, that was the sentiment right after he won. And they weren't wrong. They were lying. They were being super honest. YouTube live chat poll for today is, when will you vote? You've already early voted. You plan to early vote. You're going to vote on election day. You're not voting. Ryan?
I had planned to early vote. But at this point, there are three reasons why I am actually going to do it on election day. The first one is that I feel like I am, every day that goes by, getting more ballot knowledge about the down ballot. Because I know who I'm going to vote for up top. It's the county board and the small races.
The stuff you don't start paying attention to until like
later.
Right before.
Yeah. And I'm gaining that knowledge. And so election day is going to be beneficial for me because I feel like I'll be the most knowledgeable by then. The other is that the lines are better. In Illinois, anyway, I don't know if it's like this way in Missouri, but man, I walk right into my polling place in Illinois every year on election day and vote in 5 minutes.
Will you be surprised if it's not like that then?
I will be surprised if it's not like that.
I get tweets every day from people, and there are 2-hour waits to vote. A lot from Missouri, but that people are, and Missouri's got a lot more going on.
Yep.
So that's going to be the case as well. Vote for Kevin Schmidt, Illinois 114. That's Brad's district. Jay Keevan, this is a huge one. Katie Stewart's been a disaster for the 112th district. Get out there and support Jay Keevan. He's the one who, you'll remember, we showed up. I went out and helped him get signatures so that he could get on the ballot because Katie Stewart tried to get a bill passed that said that she wouldn't have to have an opponent. And they passed it. And then it went to the Senate right away and they signed it. And the governor signed it into law. But we got the signatures done in time and had to like speed drive them up to Springfield so that he could be slated as a candidate. Katie Stewart tried to make it so that she wouldn't have an opponent. Jake Heaven is the opponent that you showed up to make sure that Katie Stewart had a challenger, and everybody in the 112th. I'm talking to you, Madison County, Edwardsville, Glen Carbon, Maryville, Collinsville. I'm not sure specifically of the boundaries of the district. I know they drew my house. They drew a line around my house and put me out of her district. So I'm an Amy Ellick girl, and you need to support her as well. So Illinois, those are the key races over there that I want you to be paying attention to. There are a few more. We'll get to those as well. Brad, when will you vote?
I already voted.
Oh,
I was going to vote early, and then I did vote early. So I went.
That was a shot at you, Ryan.
No, it wasn't.
Ryan,
no.
Brad just said I had a plan, and I followed through
on it. And I executed my plan.
Was it your plan to vote early, too?
No, I haven't made a plan. I probably, at this point, intend to vote on Election Day, but I might vote early. I just am in a million bazillion places all the time. And the idea that there something would stop me on Election Day from making it there, yeah. I will not be on this show. I will be voting before I will not be getting my ballot cast.
Well, the reason I did it was because it worked out well for me. I had a Sunday afternoon off, so this past Sunday is when I went in and voted. And
what
usually,
was it like?
It was busy. Like, you have to walk in Illinois, you have to walk in, you have to make your ballot request, early voting ballot request. So you fill it out, and there's only like three highlighted places you have to fill out to get that request. Then you walk over, and I asked the lady that was working there. I said, "Hey,
wait a second. You're saying you have to have, and I want to make sure we get this. So make the segment longer if we have to. But you said that you have to.
There is an application for early voting,
but that's different than you don't have to fill out that application to go vote early.
Well, you fill it out there. So it's not the one that they mail you. They've got them laid out on the table.
Right. But you don't have to do anything. I mean, what I'm saying is right now in Illinois,
you walk in.
You don't have to bring anything or do anything to early vote. You just
walk
have to
in,
show up.
They've got everything there for you.
So if you want to early vote in the state of Illinois right now, you could just, instead of going to McDonald's right now, you could just turn and go walk in. You wouldn't have to have literally anything like an ID.
Right. And the lady told me that I said, "Hey, have you guys been busy?" And she's like, "Oh, sweet baby Jesus, is fatty meat greasy?" I said, "What?" She said, "I said, is fatty meat greasy?" I was like, "Wow. Okay, well, tell me," because I vote in O'Fallon at the township building there. And she said that they have had, on average, about 600 people per day voting.
Holy smokes.
But you know what the process took me? That sounds like a lot. It took me 10 minutes in the door out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in filling out that little thing, telling them who I was, grabbing my ballot and voting for who I was voting for and casting my ballot and then out. I even got my sticker. So
that is fast.
Yeah. So it doesn't look busy, but I mean, it was just constant. They had them humming.
That's awesome. 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 All right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We'll also talk a little bit more about some of the appearances that are being made by the candidates. They're trying to get their message home. What are they calling it? Their closing argument. I'm waiting for one of the candidates to actually make an argument, but I guess the closing one's no time like the present. Stick around with the Andy Fry Show. Go vote in our YouTube live chat poll. When will you vote in the actual election? We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.